Is it working? Okay. All right, let's see. Okay, and I'm back. Thank you. All right, there we go. I think I got it fixed. Okay. All right. I just want to make sure it was synchronized because it was tripping this morning. Yo, this is Binge & Rewind. Welcome, welcome, welcome to all those who are going to come in the room and those who hit the playback. Shout out to you. Hopefully see you next time. This is the weekly show where I review movies and television shows that I have been watching or have finished watching. Audience participation is encouraged. So if you have watched what I'm getting ready to talk about, then please participate in the conversation. You are more than welcome to, get into the convo. So this is presented to you by Readality Radio. I'm your host, E. Reed, your favorite host who loves to smile the most. And thank you so much for listening to me recorded live here on stereo. I advise you to download the stereo app on Android or iPhone, create your avatar, decorate it how you like. There's a lot of new accessories going on right now. And follow me, E. Reed, Melanin Seduction. I'm the one with the purple hair and the Taurus crown on the top of my head. All right. And thank you so much for listening to me on the other platforms. I appreciate the continued support. And if you have any suggestions, if you're unable to download the application or whatever, make sure you follow me on the other social media platforms and just send me a message. I appreciate the messages that come through. So this is what I'm going to go over today. Just to give you guys an itinerary, I'm going to go over the, of course, I always start off with the soap so we can just get that in the way and out the way, give a real quick rundown. It is Friday, so there was a lot more stuff that kind of went on throughout this week, which is, it's not, it's just moving the story along, let's put it that way, which is always a good thing. So if you want a more thorough breakdown, go make sure you check out the last show that I did with Brother William, aka Deacon Rainbow. We did a show a couple of nights ago, where it's, we in the kitchen. So if you go to that one, you want to really like just dissect the two shows that we talk about all the time, go back and check that out because that was a good conversation. And we're looking forward to what's going to happen next, especially. Okay, I'll get to that. I'll get to that. All right, wait. So shout out to EMC because EMC had told me she started watching some stuff that I suggested on the last couple of shows. So shout out to her, and just taking the suggestion. You know what I mean? So I appreciate that. She said that she had watched Run and she had watched Preaching Evil. So if she is able to stop by today, then maybe she'll join me up here on the panel and we can have a conversation and dissect it a little bit more. So. What I will, the other show that I'm going to talk about is Marriage Boot Camp. Give you the rundown on that. I haven't talked about it for about, I think, like 2 weeks now, probably like 2 weeks. And that's because I just, it's just one of those shows where you got to just kind of let stuff pile up, especially by the way that they edit the show. And they'll leave a cliffhanger that really was like something you wanted to see in a full episode, but of course they split it up. So it would make no sense for me to kind of like go over that just to instead of just giving you the full story. See, now that 2 weeks have gone by and give you the full story. All right. So yeah, I'm gonna talk about that. And then there's Winning Time on HBO. Hold on. I think Winning Time is an HBO original, which means you can watch it on HBO or HBO Max. So I have HBO Max. So I'm now that I know the distinction, it'll be easier for me when I suggest to y'all what to watch on HBO if it's gonna be on the streaming service or regular if you have cable, and because I paid attention when I was watching Winning Time. No, was it Winning Time? No, it was The Staircase. It was The Staircase. And The Staircase is a HBO Max original. And I will get into The Staircase later. That is another true crime docu series, scripted docu series, I guess you could say. Yeah, that's what it is, a scripted docu series. But it's based on the true crime of what happened with Michael Peterson and his wife Kathleen, and how she fell down the stairs, and then how 20 years before that, his other wife had died the same way and fallen down the stairs. So it's, one of those things. It's a weird ass case. It's hella weird. If you want to watch the one of the other true documentaries of it, There's one on Netflix actually called Staircase. So this, and what's interesting is that the people who created that documentary are actually in this series. So yes, it's not even a movie, it's a series on HBO Max. So if you are interested, especially like if you're someone like me when it comes to these true crime docuseries and everybody has their different version of telling the story from a different perspective, I like to like cross-reference the information based on what, I can remember from watching it. So if y'all are into that, like it's I guess, it's kind of fun, nerd game. And then definitely gonna talk about Winning Time. And then, okay, look. So just before I got on here, this is why I pushed the show back. Because the show is supposed to come on at 11 a.m., right? Pacific Standard Time. 1 Central and 2 p.m. on the East Coast. Okay, this is why I pushed it back. Because I had started watching The Outfit. And the last time I did the show on Tuesday, because we do this every Tuesday and Friday. When I did the show on Tuesday, I said I was going to watch The Outfit. But with everything that had gone on with my schedule here on Stereo and then, like, mommy duties and stuff like that, like, I didn't get a chance to really watch a lot of stuff in these last couple of days. So, but I definitely still wanted to watch The Outfit, and I was able to time it, just a little bit better today to be able to watch it before, on top of watching the episode to yesterday's episode of Marriage Boot Camp. So that's what I watched before I got on here with y'all, which is why I had to push the show back 30 minutes. So I appreciate you being patient about that. Appreciate it. So, but yeah, we finna get started, and I'm gonna get into YNR.
Yeah, did you know that HBO Max isn't like, oh, it's to the max, or it's like, HBO Plus? No, it's just HBO and Cinemax together.
It makes sense. And then I know they also partnered up with a bunch of other networks too on stuff that you could watch. I mean, they got the
You
money
know, you
for
would think after like the first wife died
it.
down the staircase, you would maybe move into a one-story house.
Like, that's. I don't even know if I should be laughing. Should I be laughing at that? Shout out to D. Williams.
I will sit there and say this. There is so many good shows that are coming out right now. Started watching The Outfit. It looks really good. What
Yes.
is it? Outer Range, where they're on the farm and there's that big what, black hole kind of thing in it. Man, there's just like so many good shows coming out.
Yeah, I was supposed to watch an episode or a couple of episodes of Outer Range because it was suggested to me by Ron J, who is one of the regulars that comes through Binge Rewind every now and then. And so like I started to watch it, right? But I think I was just too tired to start watching it. And when I started to look it up to see to get the synopsis of it, and I read through it, I was like, and I started watching, I don't know, maybe like the first 15 minutes, my brain capacity just wasn't there. And I was like, this looked like something I'm gonna have to actually pay attention to. Cause that's the other thing I do in my and when I'm giving like details and stuff about what I'm watching, I'll give the suggestion if it's back noise or not. So if it's something that you can just have in your ear and listen to while you're doing something else, like working on something, doing laundry, cleaning something, whatever the case is, if you know where the storyline is going, or I'll suggest that no, it's something you might want to sit down and watch because there are moments and scenes that have no sound as far as vocals. And you have to pay attention to the detail, otherwise you're gonna miss something later. So welcome. Thank you for joining. I don't know if y'all, I don't think you guys have ever been here before, but I appreciate y'all stopping by. And yeah, this is what I do this every Tuesday and Friday.
I really also like the show From. If have you watched that? I think it's on
Yes.
Epic. That's a really
Yes.
cool, freaky show.
Yes, I love that show. But I like Harold Perrineau, and I like his body of work. So he was the sheriff, and I like the way the story went about. At first, I was a little bit like, "What is this?" But they got me in the first like 15, 20 minutes of the episode. So I was hooked from there on out. I was just binging it at for real at that point. Like I just because I knew it was on. It was suggested by somebody who had stopped by here. Like maybe by the time they had came in the in my show, it had been on for maybe like 6, 7 weeks already. So I had enough episodes to binge to get through, you know. And yeah, so I was hooked. I liked it.
Oh, there's my beautiful queen. How you doing, my lovely lady? I swear, how I just drool and dream of you. I don't know why. I ain't never gonna beat you, but I do. I do love picking on you, though, girl. Keep up the good work.
Shout out to you, Short Stroke. Be careful on them highways and byways. Live, what up, cuz?
Yo, cuzzo, Erie. Oh, so it's working now, huh? They ain't want us to be great this morning. What up, though? What's going on, yo? Salute to the room.
Man, for real, though. So if y'all don't know, and for y'all who do, here's a reminder. You know, every Friday we do read the live wire and myself every Friday morning at 4:15 Pacific Standard Time, 6:15 Central, and 7:15 over there on the East Coast. And just stereo would not let us be great this morning, man. Whatever they were coding this morning would not let us be great. It was just choppy, like we were underwater. Like, you know, we were on them 1997 cordless phones, and the range just went too far, and you was too far from the antenna. It just was not working, yo. So, yeah, we went over to station head, and I don't know, man. It was very comfortable over there. So, if you have station head, join us over there. Follow Livewire and myself. It's the same names over there that it is over here. Over here on Stereo, Livewire and E Reed. And you know, if you don't have it, you can download it on your Android or your iPhone and connect your Apple Music or Spotify premium account, and you can listen to the music that we play, because we can play all music that is in Apple Music or Spotify, you know. So basically anything that's on there, you can connect it. So I'm just saying, it was fun this morning. I liked it. I'm just saying.
And I tell you, what's a good funny show on Peacock is Killing It. Oh my God, is that show hilarious? And I like binge watched the whole thing within like a day. And when it came to the ending episode, I was like, you got to be kidding me. I have to wait however long it is.
Oh man, you know what? I saw the previews for that, and thank you for being in here and like sharing that, because I was very curious. I didn't know which way it was gonna go. I didn't know if it was gonna be like dry humor, corny humor, mixture of both, or like maybe they're trying too hard to make something fit. You know what I'm saying? You know how sometimes the way they do a preview, you just don't know which way to go. You know, it's like a Pat. It's like a Pat from from Saturday Night Live. Remember Pat? Just Pat? Yeah, just kind of like, yeah.
You know, there's too many prepositions when it comes to TV shows nowadays. There's from, there's us, there's you, there's and. There's too many. Out of like 5 TV shows, you could make up actually like one sentence.
You know what? That is so interesting. I thought I was the only one who paid attention to stuff like that. Shout out to you, though. Because I thought about that one day. Like, because it's the same thing with music, in a sense. Like, you don't really got to have no lyrics in a song. And you could just have like one really good hook and just keep repeating the hook. And put it on a banging beat, you know what I'm saying, or a dope melody, and boom, you got a slapper, you got a little bop, you know, and there's really like no effort, no creativity in the title. Oh, that's so true. All right, man, shout out to y'all, though. That was great. I appreciate that. And now I got a suggestion for a show to go ahead and follow through on watching Killing It, because it is on my watch list. Because I saw the previews for it. I just really wasn't sure if I wanted to take that leap of faith yet.
Yeah, isn't that like that one Chris Rock joke? Smack it with a dick. Smack it with a dick.
Oh, man. All right. So, I don't know. Hopefully, Rain will come in here, you know, at some point. You know, if she could stop by, you know, she's usually my go-to when it comes to this part of the show, what I talk about when it comes to, yes, the old school classic soap operas. Yes, they are still on television on CBS. Check your local listings if you're down for it, or just go to CBS.com. Or, you know, download the or get the Paramount Plus streaming service. You know what I mean? You can always do that, too. And you can watch all the good stuff because Paramount Plus got some good stuff. They're the ones that have the offer on there. I'm just saying, it's worth it. All right. So when it comes to YNR, it's kind of like fast forwarding it at this point. They have further come to the terms of what's going on with Ray Rosales and what they're going to do. And Sharon has been going through the emotional roller coaster because, you know, now she's a fresh widow and she's lost her husband because of the car crash that between her between Ray, Victoria, and Ashland. And so Sharon is going to leave with Ray to take his body back to Miami, but she does want to have a memorial service. It just so happens that she wants to do the memorial service as of, like, well, it'll happen today, right? But like the day before she's supposed to leave to go to Miami. So of course, Mariah and Tessa and Nick and Noah are all there at the house, and they're all gonna figure out like what it is that they can go ahead and do. Oh, and oh my goodness, I can't think of the daughter's name. Faith is also there, and so now they're all gonna come, you know, scramble together to kind of do this memorial service that that Sharon wants to do. And the reason why Mariah and Tessa were even over there is because Tessa had ran into Mariah and Noah over at the coffee shop, and she shared with them that her sister Crystal is going to be able to come to the wedding. And she went ahead and shared the story with them, but it fades to black. So we don't know the story until they get over to Sharon's house. And when they get there, she tells us that one of Ray's last things that was just a part of, just tells you who he is or who he was as a character on the show, was he was a cop. So he went over and beyond to when he was going through the cold case files and he found Crystal's case, which is Tessa's sister. And he went to Michael, who was still the DA at the time, because, you know, Michael retired. And he requested that Michael go over the evidence in the case file again, because it doesn't look like there was enough to make the charges stick. So they go ahead and they do what they need to do, and then they're able to get the charges dropped, which means, and they Ray also found the people that were after Crystal, which is why Crystal had to escape to hide away in Canada anyway. And Ray got them arrested, and so now there's nobody looking, you know, chasing after Crystal. She's free, and now she's able to actually come to the wedding. And so it was just a beautiful moment with so much like darkness and grief going on. It was good to hear something like that was one of Ray's last kind acts to do for another person, to go over just that much over and beyond. And continuing with an extension of that, then, of course, you know, there's Chelsea. And as much as Chelsea gets on my nerves and everything like that, she really did find a really great friend in Ray, given the fact the way that she explained it to Chloe yesterday's episode, where Chloe was thinking what we were all thinking, that you are falling in love with Ray and, you know, this is why you're grieving so hard and everything like that. And when Chelsea does her monologue of what Ray did for her, and she lists how she really didn't feel like she deserved it, as all the kindness and forgiveness that he showed upon her, and, you know, helping her out and looking after her, and then bonding with Connor and all that kind of stuff. But I think in both of those moments, each of them were able to give each other what they needed as platonic friends on a different emotional level that neither Sharon could give her and Sharon could give Ray, and what Adam definitely had already told Chelsea what she wasn't going to get. You know what I mean? And it now when Chelsea puts it like that, you know, I gotta eat crow. You know what I'm saying? Like, I kind of feel a little bad about even you know, going that route. But the writing is, you know, the way the actions were, you know, just, and it's Chelsea of all people, you know what I'm saying? Like, and she was hurt and she just is lonely. So, and she was dreaming about the man, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. And maybe all of that was not also true about how she felt about Ray, but maybe there'll be another scene where she will actually admit and confess that she was starting to fall in love with Ray, because I'll eat crow if that's what it's, you know, based on what she said yesterday, but there is still, I stand by what I said as far as I really do feel like she did fall in love with him, even if it was just a little tiny bit, you know, and I get it. It would make sense. I understand. I get it. So yeah. So then, so moving on from that, Victoria is having her little like spoiled brat moment or whatever in the back and forth with Adam. She has named Nikki to be the CEO as for Newman Enterprises. And of course, you know, Victor can be nothing but happier about the situation. Ashlyn is still trying to beg for forgiveness from Victoria and get her to understand that, oh, he's still so in love with her and all this other kind of stuff. And it's just a roundabout thing. And I just really wish they would hurry up and get to the point of what this is going to happen between Ashlyn and Victoria, because it's getting boring, it's getting old, it's getting tired, and a lot of us are over it at this point. Like, either piss or get off the pot. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are we doing here? They're having the same conversation for the last 2 weeks now, and the dialogue is getting boring and redundant. So they need to, like, pick up the country pace when it comes to this, and we need to see a very, like, climax of a moment as to what's going to happen. Either he finna leave or they finna stay together and piss everybody off and build their own shit. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But I will give Ashlyn this. Even the fact that he thought about giving the $250,000 out of the $500,000 that he got out of the Newmans for him to walk away from everything and him to put it in a foundation to donate it to Hope, to New Hope, which is Nick's thing, you know, the nonprofit organization thingy, to be able to donate the money in Ray's name. Like, I think, I want to believe that they have written Ashlyn to have some kind of good in his, like, scheming ass of a body. You know what I'm saying? Like, he a scheming ass dude. Like, I want to believe he is genuinely giving or wanting to give this 250 grand out of the kindness of his heart. But there is something that is just like gnawing at me like, hell no. It's a setup. Like, it's part of the bigger plan of things. It's just like, I can't.
Hey, how many children are on All My Children?
I don't know. And then there's no more All My Children. They ain't even on no more. So I can't even go back and count. But I don't know. Let's see. So that's what's going on when it comes to Y&R. Adam and Sally had a moment. They're good. And yeah, that's it. Yep, that's it. All right, now moving on to B&B. Now when it comes to B&B, this is where it's like really juicy. This is what me and Brother William was really getting down on talking about. Because Eric is cheating on Quinn with Donna. Cheating on Quinn with Donna. And Quinn up here bragging about Eric to Carter. You know what I'm saying? Oh my goodness. Like, I cannot believe the writers are doing this again. I cannot believe the writers have written this storyline out. This is going to be one of the dumbest storylines that they have had in a long time. And they was doing so damn good. They was doing so damn good. But I don't know. Maybe that's the catch. Maybe because they're doing so damn good with this whole Sheila shit and Sheila killing her own son and Steffi waking up and, you know, having all that whole situation happen or whatever, which she snapped out of, by the way. She's all good now. Now it's just a matter of figuring out her new normal now that she's a fresh widow. And it's a, see, I told y'all every time they do that, They do that on both shows. If they write one character to have something, there's another character on the opposite show that is going through the same thing. It just happened in a different way. So we got two fresh widows on two different shows. You know what I'm saying? But it is owned by the same company. So anyway, so yeah, so Steffi is back at home or whatever. Liam just spent the night. Of course, Hope is like all up in her emotions, but she is still trying to be logical with the fact that this is what she signed up for. She is aware that Liam is going to have to be there for Steffi, and especially given the fact that they have a daughter, they have their daughter Kelly, he's going to have to show up for an even more so a little, you know, now given everything that's happened, she's going to be distraught. She's going to have moments, you know what I'm saying? Two young kids under the age of five, no. Under the age of six, six and under, you know what I'm saying? And then your husband just died, and then you don't remember. But this is where this finna get good as shit, because yesterday ended where Sheila convinced Taylor, Steffi's mom, to go over to Steffi's house, because everybody is staying at Steffi's house outside of Liam. Liam still live with Hope, you know what I'm saying? Because he married to Hope, that's his wife. But who's staying at the house is Ridge and Taylor, you know, because Ridge and Taylor got back together, which is her, Steffi's parents. So it was all of them in the house. So Taylor was out. I think she was at her office. I think she was at her office. I don't think she was at the hospital. And so she was at her office. Here comes Sheila and convinces her, like, you know, I just want to see Hayes or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Well, she's saying this to herself, okay? But she's talking to Taylor, convincing her to go over there to go just, I guess, bond and connect. Because, you know, they had that old close to death moment when they both almost fell off the building. You know what I mean? And so, of course, Taylor is blindsided and got rose-colored glasses on because she want to see the good in everybody, that Sheila has been this turned over person, and she's changed, and she's sweet, and she's kind, and she's, you know, trying her best. Like, that's some BS. No, she's not. And so her whole plan is to get Hayes. Now, me personally, I feel like my prediction is this. Sheila, if Steffi wasn't over there, Sheila was going to convince Taylor to bring Hayes out, or somehow Hayes was going to be in her presence. She was going to be alone with him at some point and disappear and take the dude. She was going to take the little boy, okay? And then they would have had a whole nother ongoing storyline. Well, now we got to find Sheila, and we got to find her son and all this other kind of stuff. Like, I don't want to see that. What I do want to see is Steffi whoop Sheila's ass today when she realizes and remembers that it was Sheila who shot her and Finn. That's what I want to see, because as we already know, Steffi can have a cat fight. Her and Sheila done already had a slapping match early, like, what was it? I don't know, maybe like 4 months ago at Steffi's house when Sheila just walked in her house. Like, Sheila just walked in her house, yo, from the back door. You know, she walked up because, you know, how, you know, the house was along the beach or whatever. So she just walks in. You don't just walk in nobody's house. And how you gonna walk in somebody's house and they don't even like you? They told you don't come to my house ever. You're not welcome. You're never gonna be with your son or your grandson. Don't come here. And you just gonna walk your stroll your happy ass in the house? That lady crazy as shit.
Hey, Avery. I don't know what the hell you're talking about, but it's cool listening to you talk about it. Hey, you. Hey, Livewire. I see you down there.
What's going on, Check Yourself? Yeah, I'm just talking about Bold and the Beautiful. Because, man, the way they write some of these characters is fun to watch. Like, it's like watching a game show or something. I don't know. This shit's funny. You know, so that's why me and brother like watching and like doing all the predictions and stuff like that. So I don't know how this is going to go and how this is going to play out. But I do know this. The way that Steffi had a come to Jesus moment when she had a flashback, because what's her name? Sheila said something. I forget what Sheila said, but Sheila said something. And Steffi just had it, like, her whole face just transformed, like, wait, hold on, bitch. Wait, where you going? Because Sheila was finna get ready to leave. And she was getting ready to walk past Taylor. And just as it happened in slow motion. You know, everything looked good in slow motion. So, here you guys, the camera pointing to Steffi. She looking, her face morph up, her eyes get big, her mouth drop, because then she's starting to replay it. They play the audio of the replay in her mind. And then she turns her head hella slow, looks at Sheila, and she says in real time, "Sheila, you're not going nowhere because you," and then it fades to black. Oh, shit. And today, Friday? See, this is why B&B has been winning all them daytime Emmy Awards, okay? Because they know how to do a cliffhanger, okay? It's not always good to have your good, great cliffhanger that we all been waiting for on a Friday, okay? And then having us wait all weekend to wait till Monday. That's not always a good thing to do, especially during May because it's sweeps week. You know what I'm saying? You got to do it now. That's smart planning. That's strategic. Shout out to the Bell Company. I'm just saying.
The Bold and the Beautiful. That show still comes on? Wow,
Yes,
that's like
ma'am.
old school soap opera. I cannot believe they're still airing it.
Yep. Oh, right. You listen. You know what? You came right on time. You came right on time. Because I was just got to talk about B&B. And I want Steffi to whoop Sheila's ass. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see. That would be a great birthday gift. Okay? That would be great. Did that happen today? See, because y'all, she done already seen the episodes. Because they come on earlier over there on the East Coast. It's just now 12 o'clock here. So, in real time, Young and the Restless, like, just went off right now. On my side of the world. And then Bold and the Beautiful don't come on till 2. So, but Rain be knowing all the tea. That's what I'm asking. But she might be at work. She might not be able to leave no message. I don't know. But yeah, so that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for that to happen. And now when it comes to this whole Carter, Quinn, Eric, and Donna, baby, I feel like this is the foursome. Is it a foursome? Is it a foursome or a sixsome? Because would I have to include Paris and Zenday? It might be a sixsome, not a foursome. But either way, or maybe it would be like a six and a halfsome. Because of Zoe? Do we still include Zoe? Or we don't include Zoe? I don't know. Because Carter is connected to all of them. Okay? That's all I know. Carter is connected to all of them. And now all of a sudden he's saying, "Oh no, I don't want to be with anybody who is already committed to somebody else. I don't want to do that." When you know goodness god darn well, you want to rip Quinn's clothes off right there in the office. You want to do this. Quit the cap. He wants to the way him and Quinn talking to each other, but the fact that Quinn just looking like a fool right now. And wait until Hope, not Hope, what's Hope mama name, Brooke, wait till Brooke catch wind of it though. Brooke gonna rub that in Quinn face so hard. I can't wait for that to pop up. I hope they have another slap box match. That'll be funny. But Eric is with Donna, because if I don't know if y'all remember when I was reviewing it back then, but like, okay, quick recap. Eric wasn't okay, so Quinn had did some horrible shit. She had set up Brooke. Eric was pissed off. Eric forgave her, but the intimacy was no longer there. He let her move back in the house and everything like that after kicking her ass out and all that stuff. He started to miss her, wanted to build the relationship back up. They started to, regain trust, but they wasn't intimate. Quinn didn't know what was going on. She thought it was her. She thought it was the fact that maybe he really just hadn't forgiven her and moved on. But that wasn't it. He had ED. So he was embarrassed to tell his wife that he had ED. And then come to find out, he really didn't have no damn ED. What he got is Quinn D. That's what he got. Quinn dysfunction. Okay. Quinn QED. He got QED. He got Quinn erectile dysfunction. Because when he with Donna, it comes up. I ain't gonna hold you. I think him and Donna are cuter anyway. I feel like him and Quinn just, it just don't look right. It looked like the devil and the angel got married. You know what I'm saying? It's not. It don't work for me. It has never worked for me. You know what I mean? It just hasn't. The only time I think I rooted for Quinn in by the time it led up to them being where they at now was when Steffi was just being a big ass brat and getting in the middle of her daddy mess. I was really rooting for Eric, but you know, I had to, I guess, in connection, be rooting for Quinn as well. But anyway, he got QED and can't get it up when he around her. But when he with Donna, because when Donna was in there trying to console him, when she found out that Eric got ED, like, oh, Eric, like, you're such a beautiful man. And then all of a sudden, Eric, little Eric got a little happy. And then they shared a kiss and it just got happier. And they've been gone for hella months on the storyline, yo. They have not been on screen in so many months, right? And now they back on screen. And the way they introduced them back on screen, if y'all remember when Rain came in here and she was leaving the messages on Tuesday and she was like, all I'ma say is Honey Bear. And then Brother William texted me after Rain said that. And he said, you gotta watch Bold and the Beautiful and wait till the end. So I wasn't expecting what I saw when they said that, because the way they introduced Donna and Eric together was in the bed, but it was the way they opened up the scene. They opened up the scene. The camera points to the honey. She really got a little bear. She got a real hoodie bear jar. A little plastic thing, right? The way you get at the store. And then she's picking it up. And then it just goes to them under the sheet, laying on top of each other. Like, bruh. And then it fades to black. I was done. I was so done. Oh my God, I was so done. And I had text Brother Will. I was like, this is what I was waiting for. Like, this is what happens. He's cheating on Quinn. And I knew it was something. Because Eric said he was finna go do what? Play pickleball? What the fuck is pickleball? What is pickleball? What is that? I don't know. No, I ain't never heard of pickleball. I done heard of wiffle ball. Okay, T-ball. You know what I'm saying? I ain't never heard of pickleball. I don't know what that is. But when Eric got that text, and he rushed out of there. He finna go play get his balls tickled. That's what he finna do.
What's up, Erie? It was pretty good. She better not be no fugitive. That's all I gotta say.
Wait, what you mean, Ryan? You know I love spoilers. I'm going to watch it anyway. You could just tell me what happened. Just you could, like, if you don't want to say it, type it. Please. I want to know what happened.
E. Reed, every time you see Donna, she's sitting on his lap. What do you expect?
She do. Wait, okay, so hold on. You know how Brooke is the valley hoe? Like, she the slut, what she call her? The slut of the valley. That's what Stephanie called her, right? So, is Donna a hoe, too? Is all the Logan sister hoes? Is Katie a hoe? She a slut? Because, you know, I'm still trying to catch up. Like, y'all know history. I don't know all the history. I mean.
And what killed me was the honey bottle at the end. I was like, oh,
honey,
they don't
bottle.
Even have jars. They got the old grocery store bear
bottle.
Honey
Disney,
bottle.
I was thrown.
I was thrown.
Yeah, because I sure was struggling trying to figure out what the name of the container was. Don't mind me. Y'all just got to look, forgive me, okay? I started partying a little early. Forgive me.
He played pickleball all right. He nailed it right. He played pickleball.
But right. It was the way he ran out the office. He ran out the office. The office isn't even that long for him to run that fast. And he's tall. He like a Jolly Green Giant. So that was like, what, 3 steps? He ran out. He ran hella fast.
The Logan sisters? Yes. They all
have they all hold.
All the Forrester and non-Forrester men. Yes.
Oh, dang. It's a family of hoes. Wow. That's crazy. Excuse me. Dang. I was kind of rooting for Donna. Dang. So who got the worst track record? Brooke, huh? Brooke got the worst track record. I bet you the order go Brooke, Katie, Donna. Is that the order? Brooke, Katie, Donna? I wonder. And then when it came to Y&R, Rain, you know, with the whole, like, the ceremony they gonna do for Ray, I want to believe that Ashlyn's gesture of donating the 250, you know what I'm saying, in Ray's name is a good gesture and that there's no hidden agenda, but given what Ashlyn is doing, I feel like it's a hidden agenda. I'm already bored with, I didn't even mention this part. I'm already bored with the whole Diane and Kyle shit. I'm bored with that. Okay. Your mama then came back to life from being murdered and gone from your entire life. And she popped back up and want to play my man. You like, yeah. Yeah, I'm bored already. I'm already bored. The acting is horrible. Like, I don't even know why they doing this. For real, though.
You got the order right. And I low-key root for Donna only because she tried to be, unlike her other sisters, because Katie was in her bag, too, for a moment before she settled with Bill and all his BS. And then she would renege and cheat on him out of retaliation and all that drama. But Donna really, really liked Eric when he was single before Quinn ass came in the picture. And then she literally stepped back so that he can go to her. So I kind of root for that relationship, but the honey bear shit I was not aware of until later on. Shit is hilarious.
I share that same sentiment in every which way you described it. And that's why I'm rooting for Donna too, because she did fall back. She did. And she was hurt that she had to let him go. To go to Quinn, you know what I'm saying? And she still was support, even though it was uncomfortable as all get out, to support him to go off with Quinn, even when he was mad at Quinn and she felt like she could take advantage of the moment, but she still didn't. Even in that opportune time, she didn't take advantage of the situation. So yeah, I'm rooting for Donna. I don't like that face she be making when she be like, she done sucked on a lemon or something. Like, I don't know. That part when she do that be weird. But other than that, that's like her pouty face. I don't know if that's her pouty face or something. Like, I'm sad, you know? Like, it's weird.
And I know you're about to move on. That move Victoria made was a bitch-ass move, putting her mama co-CEO. And I really hope Adam rethinks about leaving the company, even though he tried to do that before, because that's just bullshit. It's like, how many times do you have your family members like step over? Y'all don't give a damn what I did in the past. I need to leave y'all asses alone.
See, and here's the thing. Nick tried to warn him, and that's what Nick was trying to avoid. And I wish they would have a dialogue between Nick and Adam. They would write a scene that's well scripted in a conversation, right? Where Adam has this come to Jesus moment in understanding why Nick left the company and dealing with all of these family business shenanigans and why he didn't want to be a part of it. And because they've already built their bond and Adam has shown and proved his loyalty and being a changed person and the success by being with Sally and everything he did to help Victoria, I'm hoping what will happen is maybe they'll create a separate division for Adam at New Hope, and him and Nick do something together. I feel like that would be on standing. You know, now what would be awkward is this, because this would create another storyline extension, is that happens, but Sally, because Victor gets upset that Adam is leaving, because he wants Victoria and him to resolve all this and blah, blah, blah. But Adam is tired of being the scapegoat in the yo-yo and in the doormat. He offers Sally the opportunity to stay on as COO. Which then she has to make a decision between Victor and Adam. Which will then put to test when he asked her in the other scene, are you with me because of ambitious tendencies? And she said, no, I'm here for you. See, that would be good. I'd watch that.
And poor Billy. Lily is getting on my nerves. But I kind of feel her on the whole. I mean, she basically told Billy, man, fuck Kyle and his back from the dead mama. We got a meeting to go to. And Billy really said, damn, I'll catch up with him later. Because they're trying to do a little family meeting dealing with Kyle and his mama. He's like, all right, I'll meet up with him later.
Lily is, she's going to end up turning into something that she ain't going to recognize. And it's slowly happening. And Billy's going to recognize it. And that's going to make him snap. For real, though. Because it'll probably be like, I don't know. Like, they're switching, but, you know, personalities, but not. Like, I don't think Lily would go, like, as far as Billy has gone. But you know what I mean? But in her own Lily-like way. But Lily been getting on my nerves for a minute when it comes to just telling Billy what to do and shit. Like, at first, she would kind of leave the door of opportunity for him to figure it out on his own. But then, like, she slowly just started, like, nah, you got to do it like this. You know what I mean? Like, nah. You know? Nah. Okay. Live, you still in here? So I'm finna go ahead and get to this right here. Hold on. Make sure I'm spelling this right. For real, though. Let's see. Winning time. Lakers. Oh. Yeah, Lakers rise to dynasty, right? Wait. What's the damn title? What's the title again? Oh, okay. Winning time. Rise of the Lakers dynasty. Okay. Yeah. I knew it was rise somewhere in there. It's a long ass. Boom. That's a long ass hashtag.
Okay. Last question. We're going to move on live. We're going to move on. Do you think that the Newman should take Ashlyn's money? I mean, it is $250 million. It's half of what they gave him. I would low-key try to find other ways to get that goddamn money out back from him and still get his ass out of there. But that was just me. Would you have taken the money?
You know what? I would have put a stipulation on it. I would have negotiated, like, why you, instead of giving me the 250, give me all of it. So he don't got nothing. Like, he just ends up with nothing. Because he deserves nothing. See what I'm saying? So, yeah, I would do that. Because it'd be like, if you really are about that nice gesture life, and there's no strings attached, and, you know, you all big and bad, and if you can scheme a bunch of people to thinking you cancer and getting away with it, then I guess you can scheme your way into creating another company. That's what I would do. That's what I would do. So yes, I would take the money, all of it. But yeah, man, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens today. And I don't know, I might get a sneak peek and go over there on YouTube and watch Monday's episode just to be excited. So that when I do the review on Tuesday and I see you Tuesday, you can tell me what happened on Tuesday. Man, shout out to you, Ryan. I enjoy these moments. I enjoy these Tuesdays and Thursday conversations, for real. So, live, I done moved on. We done moved on. We on to the sports show now. Winning time, Rise Lakers Dynasty. Dagnabbit. Hold on. Cause now my he's like, that's not right. Oops. Okay, so I really like this show, as I already said before. But when it comes to not just like the how the camera is and how the filming is, because they use a lot of footage that's supposed to look like how it was supposed to look back in, you know, the 70s and stuff like that. So it's really dope. And they got all of these little weird these little weird moments, right? Okay, so like when they went to go play the Celtics, right? And it was, you know, Bird had to play against Magic. And they was doing all of this, like, press stuff or whatever the case is. But before they get to all the press stuff, and those who have already played in Boston are putting the newcomers on game about what's going to happen in Boston. So they had this, they visiting someone's house. I forget which house it was because it was a couple of house parties in some of these episodes. So, or I think like in the last couple episodes. And so they were at someone's house and they were sitting there talking, sharing stories or whatever. And then one of the team members was telling a story about how, like, you get there and how cold it is. He was describing when you're walking into the into the stadium and stadium. You know what I'm talking about? But when you walk in, yeah, to the stadium. So when you walk in there and then you're like going to the locker room and it's that long walk and it's cold. And when you're like, he's talking about like when they're bound dribbling the ball on the court and just all of this stuff. So he's making it sound like super eerie. And then all of a sudden you start to hear this little noise or whatever. And he starts describing the noise and making the noise. And he said, it's a leprechaun. So I'm saying all that to say this about the quirkiness and the little crazy stuff that happens throughout this show. Cause then when there's a scene where they actually get there and everything, it was a rat is what he was describing. Cause a little rat like ran past them as they was going to the locker room when they was walking down the hallway. And the the little bougie wood, he was like, nah, he started freaking out and shit. And then when they walked inside the locker room, they had a little cartoon of a leprechaun, like, just come across the screen, like, hella randomly with the little leprechaun laugh. It's just a whole bunch of crazy, weird little type of stuff, including on telling the story about how Magic is trying to come into his own. And, hold on, because listen, y'all know I'm not a sports buff like that. And I'm really just watching a TV show, even though to sports lovers, like, this is on some, like, true life, like, yo, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to go along with the story, all right? So, when it comes to Jerry Buss, okay, I'm going to start with him. I like Jerry. But I love John C. Reilly anyway, and he plays amazing. But, you know, he's going through the ups and downs of everything and trying to get this team together, and he's trying to get the money, and he really ain't got no money. Like, he broke, bruh. He ain't got no money. But he's still trying to make it work, and he selling dreams, selling wolf tickets, anybody that'll buy it. And through, like, just universe and manifestation and good karma or good luck, everything just comes to Oh, okay. Sorry, my cousin just texted me about the staircase thing. See, look, on it. She on it. See, that's what I'm talking about. That part right there. Okay, I'm gonna talk about that next. But anyway, so Jerry don't really got any money or anything like that, and so he's doing all of this stuff, and he ends up coming out on top. Like, they start getting a little streak going on and stuff like that. Everything's starting to look good, you feel me? But then all of a sudden, like, Jack McKinney, who they had got on to be on the coach or whatever, like, bruh, see this, I get it. This why some of these athletes be saying like they believe in you know what I'm saying, and superstition, and like don't like break your routine and don't do this, you know what I'm saying? And so his wife told him to go take a break. He didn't want to go take a break, right, at first, but she convinced him to do otherwise. Well, he wasn't going to take a break because when she walked out, he went and grabbed the folder or whatever, and he was about to go through the folder. Excuse me. And he was about to go through the folder and start looking at stuff. But then what happened? A butterfly came into the scene. And where he was sitting at the table at. And that was, I guess, his, you know, sign of saying, like, yeah, go get some fresh air. Go take a break. Go play tennis and go meet up with Paul. 'Cause that was Paul is his assistant coach. He's like, go meet up with Paul. So they were gonna go play tennis, but of course he never shows up because why? He gets on his bicycle. And this is how dramified it was. I said dramified. But this is just how dramatic it was, okay? So they got Jerry, I mean, yeah, they got I mean not Jerry, Jack. They got Jack on his bicycle. He has and he's riding down the street. There's this guy in a car coming from the opposite, not the opposite direction, from a cross street. So that means if they hit each other, they're gonna T-bone. So coming from the cross street, and the guy in the car looks like he's not paying attention. And then, of course, they do that dramatic thing where they go from one to the other and they bouncing back and forth, right? So, of what's getting ready to happen. So, it's this whole buildup of suspense. Like, of course, we think they're gonna crash. I mean, for those who don't know the actual story, so you think they're gonna crash or whatever. But then, nah, like, he ends up, like, they end up missing each other. They don't crash. So, but what does end up happening is then his back brake snaps. He doesn't notice that the back brake snaps. And when he goes to brake, the front brake, of course, grips the tire, but it stops it. And he, like, you know, he flips out over head first. And he ain't have a helmet on. Because, of course, back then, they probably wasn't like really just recommending or requiring helmets. So, yeah, he busts his skull wide open, and he ended up in a coma for hella months. And during that coma, like when the accident first happened, you know, there was they didn't really know what to do with their anything. Like they didn't know, like if they were they knew they weren't gonna say something, but that's because Jerry said, like, don't tell the press nothing. We're not finna say anything, and there were certain ways that they had to say stuff, and so. What's his name? Paul was freaking out because he had to be the one to go make a statement and stuff like that. And so then, Adrian Brody, this where Pat Riley come in at. You feel me? So Pat Riley was doing the announce, you know, being the announcer and stuff like that, and being behind the mic. But of course, he knew all. Like he knew he was really focused, so he knew all the stuff. So, what's his name? Paul ends up having to coach his first game, and like he just completely like he freaks out or whatever the case is, because now he got to be the coach, you know what I'm saying? And it was going like bad, it was going bad, son. And Adrian Brody is playing, Pat Riley started to kind of like slide him little notes and shit like that and help him out or whatever. And then Paul just go to him and be like, bruh, like you just got to join my team, be my coach, you know, be my assistant coach. And he was hesitant at first because he was like, I'm gonna have to quit my job. And then Paul is securing him, like, you're gonna be good, like it's gonna be straight, don't even worry about it. And he goes ahead and he quits, he becomes assistant to Paul, and they win, like they on this winning streak, yo. Like they really is just doing so, like they doing hella good. And I forget what the final what the number was that he had put on the board, but they was doing good. And it took a while for them to get there because while Paul was fumbling really bad at the beginning, like he was just horrible at the beginning, to the point where the players were starting to just do their own thing or whatnot. You know what I'm saying? And basically, like, coach him. Coach, help him coach themselves type of a situation. And, but then when they started winning, it was just on and popping. But then, of course, Jack starts to get better. And Jack is, you know, he says to Paul, at some, you know, to encourage Paul in the beginning, he's like, you got to do this. Like, you got to step up. Now, that's important when I get tell you what I'm going to get ready to tell you. You feel me? And so he's telling, like, he's encouraging him or whatever the case is. So Paul is messing up at first. Okay, like I said, he teams up with Pat Riley. And then now they win it and they doing, like, they doing the most, right? And then Jack starts to get better. And then Jack not only starts to get better, but then he goes against, like, the doctor's wishes or whatever. He starts showing up to practice and everything like that. And he starts showing up to practice and he starts making demands and stuff like that. And so when they come in there, they had just got through winning a game and he just pops up out of nowhere as they're doing the celebration in the locker room. And it's super awkward. Like, you could cut the tension with the knife in the office. And one of the most tense moments, which happens super fast, was the scene where they're all getting ready to take a celebratory shot. And instead of saying, they won 40 games. That's what it was. They won 40 games. And I think they lost like 12 or something like that. But, when they went to take this shot, Paul and Pat, they said 31 and took the shot. And then Jack is like, don't you mean 40? And they, you know, it was that awkward silence of, well, 40, but we won 31 of them. You know what I'm saying? Like, because he was gone. He was out. He was in a coma. He was, you know, he couldn't do nothing. And they had to pick up the slack. And they did a really good job as far as, like, everything that was going on administration-wise and financially of trying to create this team. And the way that they created everything is just phenomenal, because Jerry's daughter, she knows her dad so well to be able to give, to be able to, like, execute his vision. You know what I'm saying? So she's working with, what's her name? I think her name was Claire. Yeah, she's working with Claire. And the daughter is played by Hadley Robinson, and her name is Jeannie, right? So Jeannie and Claire work with each other to create the vision that Jerry keeps saying that he wants and stuff like that. And with all this pressure of the finances, and his mom is in charge of the finances as well, they're just making sure everything is kicked, like, goes off with a hitch when it comes time to, like, open it, okay? So, and that's before the season starts. So let me go back to Jerry Buss, because I'm, like, now all over the place, I feel like. Because there was just a lot going on, and I'm excited. I like the show. I didn't think I was going to like it, but I like it. And so Jerry is encouraging Paul and everything to do what he needs to do. And he actually takes heed to that, you know, that advice, and he accomplishes it. But when Jack comes out, Jack wanted to, like, take over the reins now, which is where you had that uncomfortable, awkward silence in the office and stuff like that. And then there's ends up being a private conversation between Jerry and Paul. Jack and Paul, where Jack is basically telling Paul, like, look, Pat gonna have to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't need him. And I need these people, and we need to put these people back and go back to doing this and da da da. Like, he just wants to go back to the old ways of what it was, when in reality, they're not who they were at this point. You know what I mean? And so, and what's working is working. And Jack ain't trying to hear none of that shit. Jack ain't trying to hear none of that. You know what I'm saying? And Jack ends up giving Paul the ultimatum and telling him, like, I don't care when you tell him or whatever the case is. And there, what happened? There was, I'm trying to make sure I get to, oh, yeah, okay, never mind. I don't need to think about that part, because I was about to think about the part about where they were about to go to Boston, and Pat found out that he was going to get replaced. But That's another part of the story. This is why you gotta watch it. I'm just giving y'all snippets. So he gives him the ultimatum or whatever, and then, you know, Pat is like pissed off. You know what I'm saying? Like, he gave up his job for this, you know. So I don't know what's gonna happen next. They didn't have a new episode. There's only 9 episodes as of now. And so I don't know if there's going to be a 10th episode. I'm hoping that there is. I'm hoping it's not over. You know what I'm saying? But that's what ends up happening. And then, what's his name? Paul ends up getting sick or whatever. Excuse me. After having a conversation with Pat. I think that was what ended up happening. Pat found out and he confronted Paul ended up finding, like, he ended up passing out. They get the ambulance or whatever. Paul's in the hospital, and then Jack comes over to him and visits him, and all that, like, boosting and hyping up he did at the beginning of the season, because, you know, Paul is trying to stand by Pat and give Pat an opportunity to be a part of the team. You know what I'm saying? He even says, like, there, you know, there could be a second coach or whatever, a second assistant coach. And Jack is just not having it. And I really feel like Jack wasn't having it because he was insecure. He was insecure, which he does admit to in his own Jack kind of an asshole way. He does admit to it in the way that he describes it. But he then, like, says to Paul, like, you know, when I chose you to be my number two because it, you know, how did he put it? Or if you thought I chose you to be my number two because, you know, you could get good and gain skills and all this other stuff, like you were good and you could do, you know, this and that or whatever, just praising him kind of a thing, right? He ends up actually tearing him down, and he's like, yeah, I didn't think you could do it, you know, and that's not your position because you're not that kind of a person. Like, he just basically tell him he ain't shit. And I thought that was super foul. Like, the man in the hospital and got sick to keep this team together when you got sick because you fell off your bike. It's not to say, like, it's like a minimal thing, you know, because the man almost died. But it's like, damn, where is the gratitude? You know, I don't think that was any gratitude from Jack, now that I think about it. Because I finished watching it, like, I don't know, maybe 3 days ago. So that's why my memory is a little bit vague. It's not, like, fresh off my brain. But, yeah, I don't think I even remember Jack even saying thank you and shout out to y'all, or, you know, appreciate you, or let's go do this. I know they wouldn't say shout out to y'all, but there's just nothing. No acknowledgement whatsoever. But what was... what was well played, though, was when Pat Riley got interviewed and when asked if Jack was coming back to coach the team, and Pat Riley says that, you know, while Jack's been, basically, like, I'm paraphrasing, Jack's been away and we've been winning, so I don't think we need to change anything. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's basically what he said in so many words. And I just thought that was brilliant. But that's how that happened. Pat said that on camera. Paul confronted Pat, and then Paul passed out and ended up in the hospital. That's what happened. Now I remember. That's what happened. So, yeah, and then when it comes to Jerry and what Jerry's going through, like I was saying, his daughter Jeannie has been working with Claire, and they were able to create what he wanted, including, this is where we get introduced to the Laker girls and Paula Abdul being the first Laker girl and the first choreographer for the team, because Jeannie had this lightning in a bottle of an idea where she was looking at some pictures that her dad had of some women. No, it was either her dad or somebody brought a book of pictures of a bunch of women, and and she had this idea of, like, okay, well, instead of cheerleaders, like, we'll have them dance. And then the first dance troupe that they got, they were doing, like, on some ballet contemporary dance type stuff, and that just wasn't working. And Jerry was like, I want to see sexy, I want this, like, you know. And that's when Jeannie got the idea, and that's where Paula Abdul comes in, because she saw I think Paula Abdul was at the dance company, that one of the dance companies that came through, and she was the one that they went to ask to choreograph it. And yeah, that's where the Laker girls came from. And the whole point of it all was, excuse me, for the forum, was it was supposed to be like, you know, it was supposed to be a party, a distraction party while watching the game. Like, basically Las Vegas at the stadium. That's pretty much what it was supposed to be. And then, you know, there's a club that's, you know, to it. And I'm telling you, it was quite brilliant. I was rooting for them, even though we know the outcome and everything like that. But as a viewer of watching the story play out, you know what I'm saying, and having no idea of the real life details and facts, you know, I was rooting for it to come to pass. I was hoping for nothing like bad or anything like that. And then the other thing that Jerry goes through, so as all of this is going on or whatever, he still is in financial debt and everything. He almost lost the Lakers franchise because the loan that he took out in the beginning, it was about to be due. It was coming up on maturity. excuse me, my sinus has been draining, y'all. And they came up on, it was coming up on maturity, and he was going to have to pay it. And within 24 hours, but they gave them an offer that they didn't think that they could refuse to the bank and being partners instead of just being like loan officers or whatever. And because the money to pay back the loan, obviously he ain't got it. You know what I'm saying? He's broke. And the mom is in charge. His mom is in charge of his finances. She's the bookkeeper. And that's important because the opening night when Jeannie went to go pick up her grandmother didn't know what day it was. And if when you watch enough TV shows to know, when they write in a storyline where one of the family or loved one all of a sudden starts to forget things and don't know where they're at or and stuff like that, they're introducing dementia or Alzheimer's storyline. And so that's what we start to pick up on. And then fast forward to the loan and its maturity, the papers were supposed to be filed where Jerry's ex-wife had signed the papers for her to have ownership of the Lakers, so that if they did have to default on the loan or whatever, you know, Jerry will just file for bankruptcy and the bank can't go after him or take the Lakers because the Lakers is in her name. And that, you know, he's just like, you know, quote unquote silent partner. And the paperwork didn't get filed though, because the mom's dementia had gotten like advanced to the point on top of, she had cancer. We come to find out she's got cancer and she was having many strokes. So she was being forgetful, because the more strokes you have in your mind, like, more pieces of your brain get damaged and you can't remember stuff. And so we ended up finding out was her actual diagnosis or whatever. But she forgot to file the paperwork. And so he goes in there to check on her because he finds out that the paperwork isn't filed or whatever. And yeah, he gets super upset and then realizes that there was something else going on. And then that's when, you know, he realizes he has to go get treatment. But while all of that is going on, right, is the same time where Jack ended up getting injured and everything. So it was just a lot going on with Jerry. You feel me? I don't know. I really appreciate how they telling this story and giving us a background of all of these power players and what happened and how Lakers came to be, because I didn't know it was taking all of that and all of the politics. I mean, I know politics and, you know, power players, you know, it's a bunch of men in suits that are deciding who is going to play and what's going to happen and all this. I get that part. But I guess it's the detail in how much people were willing to share to even get this created for it to either be as close as it can be to reality of what happened. That's my point when it comes to that. Now, when it comes to Magic Johnson, we see him go through his growing pains of finding his place within the team and being challenged to be the leader and be the captain. But out of respect for the captain, who is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he wants to play his position. You know what I'm saying? And Kareem is annoyed with Magic. He's like, I don't know. It's almost like he's that annoying little brother because he's always happy all the time. And Kareem is, you know, is like super woke and power to people. And like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's America versus the black man kind of a thing. Very militant, you know, and very quiet and always in thought kind of a person, you know, and it's the way that Magic is always smiling and bubbly and trying to get the party started and get the team to the camaraderie of the team to get together and the morale of the team up. You know, it's rubbing him the wrong way a little bit. So Kareem actually ends up having his heart to heart with Magic's dad, and they find an understanding about how to deal with Magic, where Kareem offers to, you know, in a family, brotherly, like elderly way, like keep him in check. And his dad, Magic's dad, is like, yes. Irvin Sr. is like, yes, please do so. You know, look after him. And that's exactly what Kareem does. And they have this heart to heart in one of the scenes in one of the last episodes where Kareem is telling him, like, you want people to like you, you know, but do you want to win? And after, you know, some more dialogue between each other, he finally gets it. And Magic is like, I want to win. Because if everybody likes him, you know, if everybody likes him, he's not going to be the best version of himself on the court because he's going to be worried about how everything looks and how he looks and stuff like that. So, and how people treat him and all. So he's just telling, like, you know, he's going to have to make a decision. So this is a really good show. And this is a series I will watch again just because I know there's more detail in this show to where I'm missing some stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's that detailed in watching it and listening to it. Because this isn't a background noise kind of a show. Like, YNR and BNB, like, that can be background noise. You don't necessarily have to, like, sit and watch it. You feel me? But when it comes to this show right here, I don't feel like this is a background noise kind of a show. I feel like you really just got to sit and watch it and just, you know, pay attention. What a smoke break.
One of my favorite cereal people.
How are you? Hey, lady.
I just got off of work. Got myself unwind. About to sit and binge and rewind. I know I'm late, per usual, but I try to catch your ass every time I see you on. And this is actually one of my favorite shows because one thing I love best is TV, and I come here to catch all the hottest things to watch. Hey, Pooh.
Yeah.
Hope you have a great day. Happy Mother's Day early, if I don't get to say it Sunday.
Thank you. Same to you. Thank you. Look, man, I appreciate when I ain't gonna hold you in this completely off topic, but I do appreciate when y'all come in here. For real though, like, and Rain, I appreciate how, like, now we have conversations about the shows and the way we have the conversation. I appreciate that because, you know, we be doing spoilers in here, we be getting involved, you know what I'm saying? And some people may find that crazy. So if that is what it looked like, I'm proud to find my other crazy people, because it's entertainment. It's supposed to make me feel something. So I might feel some kind of way. It don't mean it's like I'm basing my life off the shit. I just like entertainment. I like art. It's art. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. But I do appreciate y'all. And Smoke Break, I know when you come in here, and then like sometimes when you come through, I'll just be closing out, or I'll be getting ready to go. But it's all good, because I know we've been like two passing ships. For real though, because there's been times where like I go look at missed shows. I'm like, dang, I missed Smoke Break show. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't like if Retrograde coming up, and I made a promise to myself, if I'm not scheduled to be on a show or something like that, or if it's not one of my favorite people I want to listen to, then I don't be on the application. I don't. You know what I'm saying? Retrograde coming, I ain't trying to get involved in nothing. So yeah. But yeah, on Pades too. But yeah, I do appreciate y'all coming here. Thank you so much. I do appreciate it.
Come on, are you ready for P-Valley on the 3rd? I'm just saying, Pooh, I'm ready. You ready? You ready? Because I'm ready. Was it the 3rd or the 6th of June? Something, girl, but I'm ready. I'll keep you posted, because that's my down in that valley where the girls get naked. If you don't mind, I would like to do those, what's they called, reviews with you, or shit, just invite me okay. to the show. Make sure I don't miss not one, baby.
Oh, so we could totally do this, because this is what I played, this is the idea I played around this week. I did a whole separate show just about the Ozarks. You know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking about implementing that, because I created a whole separate channel of Binge and Rewind on Anchor. So it's not mixed in with my other shows. Because when I tell y'all I really do want one of these networks or streaming services or production companies to hire me to do this shit for real, like I'm serious. So I'm trying to create a space where if it's ever questioned, like, well, why should we pick you? Here, go to this channel right here. I'm going to tell you why you should pay me. You see what I'm saying? That's the goal. That's what I'm starting with. So, but yeah, I'm down for that.
Listen, I actually like the spoilers, because the spoilers is kind of what makes me want to watch it. Like, I don't care how somebody else
right.
I just still know that in my own mind, I got to build my intensity to the ending like everybody else. So just because they spoiled it don't mean I'm going to view it in the way that they did. You know?
Exactly.
Girl, forget them. This is one of my faves.
I see, and that's why I love spoilers. Look, because I was telling me, I just thought that the rain. Rain, I got to give you props, though. I appreciate you. You be trying real hard not to spoil it and just give a little bit of the like the sidelines of it. I'm like, no, I'd be like, give me the tea. Give me the tea. You and Brother William both do it. I'd be like, tell me. Tell me.
Don't worry about it, E-Ree, because when Smoke Break get big and I do my Smoke on the Street segments, I'm definitely looking for people. Like, I'll be sitting around and watching people and seeing how they work just for my own personal, you know, because when I make it, the people I fuck with won't make it, especially if I see you working hard and it's something you want to do. Baby, don't you worry about it, because if don't nobody pick you up by the time my visions start unfolding, you got a spot with us.
Hey, look, I'm here for it. You know what I'm saying? Look, network or no work. Like, I'm so serious. Like, I got a whole nother, like, big goal that I really want to do. But, you know, they say you don't want to just, like, talk about them like that. You know what I'm saying? But this I can, because I've been doing this, like, since I was a kid. So why not? You know, I have fun watching shit.
Since you doing big things, I got to stop using curse words. So I'm going to do better. Never know. Or you're going to do a heck of a lot of editing. A heck of a lot of editing.
No, that's the beauty of reality. There, I don't do no editing. I promise y'all I don't. All I do is download it and upload it and then put in the detailed information with, like, the description, the title, upload the Binge and Rewind picture, and that's it. Because the Binge and Rewind picture don't got my face on it or nothing. It just say Binge and Rewind hosted by E. Reed. That's it. So ain't nobody going to know if I'm black, white, Latino, Asian, whatever. They ain't going to know. You know what I'm saying? I mean, not unless they come over here or follow me on social media. Then they'll know. But yeah. Look, it's all right. It's okay. Look, I could put explicit. I put explicit on there anyway. So, yeah. Do you?
What's up, B. Reed? How you doing? What's up, Rain? What's up, Smoke Break? How y'all doing? Y'all check out The Circle yet? My wife and I are about
I'm
to
watching
jump
it
on
tonight.
That show hard as fuck this weekend. Y'all watch The Circle yet? I love that shit. I love that that real life shit or the I don't know, reality TV. It's like my I don't know.
Guilty
what do you
pleasure.
Call it? Guilty pleasure? That. There you go. Much love, y'all. Let's go.
Yes. Yes. And yeah, I got the notification yesterday about The Circle. And okay, there's already 4 episodes. Okay, so oh shoot, no, there's only yeah, there's 4 episodes because the 5th one come out after my birthday. Okay, so this what I'ma do? I'ma watch it on Monday. I'ma watch it on Monday so it's fresh in my mind to talk about Tuesday, and right after. I talk about, after me and Rain finish talking about the soaps, that's going to be the first show I talk about. So, Scruff, if you and wife be interested, y'all can come through because that's going to be the first show that I'm going to talk about. But yes, I love The Circle. And I'm very curious to see who the player's going to be this time and what different games or whatever are they going to do. And if they gonna have like another ringer in there or something.
Shout out to you, Rain. I'm sorry. It's so rude of me to acknowledge you. I'm so used to just coming in and talking to people that I kick it with. It has. I'm sorry. I gotta work on that in real life too because if my friends be sitting around talking to people, y'all, I just walk right up to them and be like, "Oh yeah, girl." Da, 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 da. I know the people be sitting there looking at them. I'm like, "Oh, I'm so sorry." Hey, y'all. I'm just so used to just walking up talking to people that I kick it with.
Oh man. Okay, wait, hold on.
I will say this because I know it's a 12-part series, and I'll be real with you. It's pretty it can some of the episodes because they kind of break them down between like drugs, criminal things, lawsuits, you know, activism, and all this kind of stuff with the Secrets of Playboy. If you would watch it. And you wanted to discuss it because it's kind of hard to discuss it in like 10 minutes unless you just really can't get through it or don't like it. I would talk about it with you because it is a lot to digest. So if that's something I know, like with you doing with Legendary and all, you know, other kind of shows, you do separate from Binge and Rewind. If you do something special or separate with Secrets of Playboy, I would be open to talk about it with you.
Absolutely, cause that's really originally how BNR started though. I was just talking about one show, and I would dissect it for like 30-45 minutes, and I love doing that. And that was the beauty of late night Netflix too, cause we would do that too. Do you know how many shows we did about Behind Her Eyes on Netflix? We talked about that show like a few times. Even rewatch some episodes to go back to dissect this some more. Oh my God, I'm so here for that. Yes, absolutely. So yeah, okay. So these are the 3 things I gotta watch this weekend. Is I gotta watch that Outer Strange thing on Prime. I kind of feel like it's gonna be stupid, but only because I want to say it's stupid just so I can rub it in Ron J's face. I'd be like, it's dumb. Why you suggest this? Because he's been right every suggestion he's given. So there's that. And then what did he want me to watch? Snowfall. He was gonna pay me $50 to watch Snowfall all 5 seasons. So okay, it's on the agenda, but ain't a priority. But I definitely gonna watch The Circle on Monday, and then the Playboy thing, and then. What else I gotta catch up on Reacher, and then of course you know the other stuff that come on tonight and tomorrow would like Put a Ring on It and all that other stuff.
Oh my God, I watched The Circle since the first fucking season. I actually implied all these emails from influence me to do all this stuff, y'all. If y'all see the emails I get and the stuff they want me to do, you know, to be a part of the network and how to brand and shit, y'all would be like, why don't you I'm a big influence me, like, for real, they be on my trail a little bit. And I applied for that show, actually. Oh, my gosh. I love The Circle.
Man, The Circle is hella fun.
Hey, Stereo Legend. And another one, E-Read. Still got to watch that documentary about Steven Stainer, Captive Audience. But hey, Stereo Legend.
Why does that sound familiar? Because y'all know sometimes I beat and I already watched it. Or, wait, what is this? It's on Hulu. Why does that sound familiar? Hold on. Where is the, Oh, okay. Oh, no, I haven't watched this. No, I haven't watched this. But I will, though. Yeah, that's the one by My Name is Steven. Okay, so yes. Okay, Captive Audience. Let me screenshot this and put it in my phone so I'm like, what? Why did I screenshot that? Yes. Okay. Yeah. Maybe I'll watch that tonight. No, I can't watch it tonight. I gotta figure it out. Cause I don't want to watch it with my little girl awake. You know what I'm saying? I wanna do that. Okay. So, cause I only got like a few more. I only got like another 30 minutes. Cause I told, you know, it's been teacher, staff appreciation week. And I told my little girl teacher I was gonna bring some like goodies or whatever for the staff and stuff. So I gotta run to the store before I go pick up the little girl. And see, I know us. I'll tell myself, okay, I'll be done at 2. And then next thing you know, it'd be 2:30 and I ain't went to nobody's store.
What up, Scruff? And this is the only thing I got with the Kevin Samuels, not to go left. Every time I hear about how he passed, I think about that scene in The Color Purple when Silly went to her dad's funeral and she asked the young lady with the baby in her lap, how did he die?
And she put her hand out of
the baby's ear. And she said, on top of me. Every time I'm hearing about this man, that is the story that I'm thinking about. I don't know why I just had to say that because I don't know when I'm not talking about that guy. So that's the only thing I got from it.
That's okay. It was movie related. That's perfectly fine. Because you know what I was thinking when I heard it that way, the way LiveWire explained it this morning on Read the Live. Where my brain went to was the scene in the movie Distinguished Gentleman when Senator Jeff Johnson killed over in his secretary on the desk. That was the scene that I thought of. That's where I went to, you know. So it was still related. It was still related.
What up, EMC? I'm late to the party. I just woke up.
Yeah, I knew you was asleep. I figured you was. Don't even trip. We could do a whole. We could do a separate show, just like I was explaining to Rain, Scruff, and Stereo Legend earlier. Like, if there's something that's like separate that, like, cause Rain said it perfectly. Like, we can't just dissect it and talk about it in 10 minutes, like here on BNR that I do. But if it's a separate show, like what I did with Ozarks, like, yeah, we could totally do that. You know what I'm saying? Just maneuver some stuff around. You feel me? Because some shows just be a lot of test shows that I'm doing when it's not the regular shows.
And I think in the first Godfather, someone got shot in the bed with somebody too. Am I not mistaken? Did somebody get knocked out and shot when they were doing all the killings towards the end and he was in a bed with a lady and they shot him in the bed? I felt like that was the scene too.
I don't know. I ain't seen the first Godfather in hella long. Because I ain't going to hold you. Like, when the Godfather come on, I might get to, like, the first half of it. And then I go find something else to watch. What up, Trip Duce?
Yeah, I don't know anything about Kevin Samuels. I think he was part of that, like, Red Pill Alpha shit. Which, if y'all know me, bump that shit. But, yeah, if you want to talk about The Circle, I know I'll be down to talk about it. My wife is savage on these people. It's hilarious. So I love watching it with her. I don't know if she'll jump on here with us, but yeah. Much love. Let's go.
Okay, so let me ask y'all this. Do you got the Rave app? Cause we could watch it together on Rave. I'm trying to tell you the experiences though. I don't know. Cause I got the Rave app and then I got all the streaming services that are connected with Rave. So we could watch something on Amazon Prime, Netflix, even something on YouTube. So Netflix, YouTube, Disney Plus, Amazon Prime and HBO Max. So they don't, I wish they would hurry up and attach Hulu. If they attach Hulu, it's a wrap.
Oh yeah. I was asleep. I slept good. I slept real good. I was looking for you on Livewire this morning, but couldn't find you, and then I just saw your message saying you guys were in Stationhead, so that explains why I couldn't find you.
Yeah, Stereo was tripping. They wouldn't let us be great this morning, man. They would not let us be great. So, yeah, we had to, like, switch over there. And I don't know, man. Y'all might, if y'all want to catch Read the Live, y'all might have to go and slide over there on Stationhead, because it felt like home. I'm just saying. And then being able to read the chat in real time and speak on it in real time versus playing the messages, which we love to do, don't get us wrong, but I don't know, just the it was just different. It wasn't better, but it was just different. So to round this up with winning, because then I gotta go and break down okay, EMC, let me ask you this. Do you want to do a separate episode where we talk about Run versus doing it right here? Let me know that before I put that on the list to talk about. And then, but I will, the next thing I am going to talk about, though, is the outfit, because that movie was hella dope. Oh, my God, that movie was epic. Look, I know I said on Tuesday that I was fascinated when I spoke about, I think it was Tuesday. Was it Tuesday? No, it was when I came back from Cali. And I was talking about how like appreciated the movie The Run. And, or not The Run, but Run and Ambulance. Okay? So, because of the twists and turns of the movie and stuff like that. And I like movies that do that, where you think it's going to go one way and it goes a completely other way. Like, there's so many different ways stuff is going where you be like, hold on, could he or he couldn't be? Like, it make you doubt yourself. You know what I'm saying? And it'd be a whole different kind of a twist. Okay, so yeah, I'm going to talk about that next. So I'm going to play y'all messages. But to close out with the Winning Time, The Rise of the Lakers Dynasty, it's on HBO Max. It's the HBO Max original, so you got to have No, it's not. Hold on. I think it is just a regular HBO series. I don't think it's HBO Max. It's not. It's a regular HBO series. I'm sorry. I'm getting myself confused. It's a regular HBO series. And so, yeah. So make sure y'all tap into that. There's 9 episodes already. You can binge it. And, you know, definitely one of those. It's not background noise. So the outfit is on Paramount Plus. All right. It is. Hold on, let me pull it back up. Where is it? Oh, wait. Okay. Thank you, Google, for remembering my search stuff. Okay, so it is 1 hour and 46 minutes, give or take, of course, with the credits or whatever. But it's worth the watch. And again, the cast is Dylan O'Brien, Mark Rylance, Zoe Dutch, Johnny Flynn, Nikki Amuka Bird, Simon Bussell, and Alan Madizida. Okay, now this is one of those movies where it could have been a stage play and adapted to a movie, which I don't know if it is. I didn't look at the credits, you know what I'm saying? But that's the way that that's the vibe it was giving, because it's only set inside one location. You know what I mean? And there's different moving parts in one location, but there's not a lot of moving parts. The cast only consists of the people that I gave. That's the cast. These 7 people. That's it.
E-Reed. What up? Melanin. Shout out to you. You already know who it is. Your girl 222-raw.raw-222 in the building. And Lefty said my bad for, or his bad for saying Milanin, but I'm going to adopt that one. It's Milanin for now on to me.
Milanin.
I'm going to support that. That's how we support our other halves, right? Anyways, I don't watch TV, but I'm here to support you. And yeah, listen to you because you have that radio voice. Super dope. Oh, yeah. And I got your DM as well. Definitely want to build on that, please. Please. I don't know. I just couldn't think of anyone more just really suitable for that when it comes to what it's like. We have like a similar approach to, you know, the empathic mindset, but.
Yep. I agree. And
okay, my apologies, because I know my comment had nothing to do with anything that you're building on right now. My bad, but I just wanted to come through and say that. But I'm still here.
Nah, it's perfectly fine. It's all good. That's the beauty of, like, with my platform. It's reality. Everything happened in real time. You feel me? Just never know. Somebody might hear that and be like, what are they talking about? Feel me? Then I get a DM. What was she talking about? And then I tell them about A&N. And then, like, see what I'm saying? Just never know.
Oh, I love the circle. I love the circle. Also, watch out this weekend for me and the Huntress. We got a satire comedy show coming. It'll be a surprise. Just look out for it.
Okay.
Yes. Let's do a separate episode because there's so much to dissect. Oh my. Yes.
Okay, for sure. I'll set it up for something next week.
Ewe, you changing it all around. Now we done gave you about 15 shows. You said shit. I ain't got to watch all these shows by myself. We could do this on a platform and watch them together.
I don't know. It's just something about, like, we be in there, we be typing and talking shit. Like, me and Bex be having hella fun. Like, we'll be watching some random movies from Amazon Prime and be like, did you just see that? Why are they killing them like that? Oh, okay. So that's what we doing? Like, yeah, it'd be funny.
What's the name of that app? I might be able to do that. Just send me the link or...
Okay.
Yeah, is it on Xbox? Is it smart TV? Is it... I have questions. Let's go.
So I know you can download it on your Android, your iPhone, and then I know you can even use your laptop and watch it from there. But it's Rave. R is in rabbit. R is in rabbit. And A is in apple. V is in Victor. E is in Edward. So yeah. And then when you get in there and you sign in and everything, it's super easy. Like, you just go in, you sign in, and then you connect all of your streaming services with your password, and then that's it. You know what I'm saying? And we be in, like, I haven't hosted a lot of rooms lately because we've been so heavy on stationing, but I'm going to get back to it or whatnot. And then, yeah, like, it'd be a good-ass time, especially, like, if you're going to watch it anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like, but, yeah. And I send him the link. Okay, so the outfit. So the movie is like, it takes place in this tailor shop, okay? And Leonard Burling, okay, is, they call him the English, they call him English, right? Because he's from London. And we get to learn different parts of his background on how he relocated to London. And in this tailor shop, he has one employee. This woman is named Mabel, okay, played by Zoe, and she is his ace, you know what I'm saying? She really look after him. He looks after her like, you know, she's a daughter and stuff like that, and she just so happened that she's dating a guy in the mob, okay? He's supposed to be some mob in Chicago. I don't know which one. I don't think they mentioned they mentioned La Fontaine, and I forget where the son was from. I forget his family's name. But either way, so those are the main characters. So Mabel is dating Richie, who is the son of the mob, one of the mob bosses in Chicago. And Richie is friends with Francis. Francis has been taken under the wing of his father, who is played by Simon Russell Beale, who is Roy Boyle, the Boyles. That's it. Boyles and the LaFontaines. Those are the two families in this movie that are, you know, the mob families or whatever in Chicago. And Richie and Francis run up inside. They knock on the door or whatever and run up at, you know, to the tailor's shop. And they tell the Englishman that, you know, they need help because Richie done got shot. Okay. And the reason why he got shot is because they were trying to obtain this tape that was put on by the government, because there was a bug that was planted somewhere to record the ongoings between these two mob families or whatever. And, if the tape gets out, then, you know, some bad stuff is finna happen. And the outfit, which is supposed to be when Al Capone died and they expanded the families or whatever, and they built a network out of it from what was described in the movie from Santa Monica to Coney Island. The Boyle family was being considered because the way that the outfit would reach out to the families is they would start sending them packages with these specific, like, little, I don't know, ornaments or some shit. And so the Boyles thought that they were about to be, you know, be a part of this network. And they had to complete some things, which is basically get rid of the LaFontaine family. Now, we keep hearing about the LaFontaine family, and because it's some mob shit, we naturally think like it's on some, you know, it's all dudes and stuff like that. But let me tell you, the Fontaines is led by Nikki Amuka Bird, which is a beautiful, gorgeous, dark-skinned black woman. Okay, her melanin is popping, you know what I'm saying? And she is the queen pin. She is the mob boss of the LaFontaine family. And she goes by Violet. So the Boyles is trying to like take out her family in order to be a part of the outfit. And then the sons get a hold of the tape or whatever, right? And Francis is, because he's up under the wing of Roy Boyle, Richie's dad, Richie has like this little like love-hate relationship with him, because he doesn't like the fact that he's got like his, you know, his friends got this bond with his dad, but and his dad doesn't like give him like more responsibility, but Richie is kind of like a F up, you know what I'm saying? So he doesn't really like get it or whatever. And Francis does. So Francis decides that after Richie done got shot and he done made the tailor like sew him up or whatever, he decide he finna catch his cut. So the tailor I'm gonna call him English because he doesn't like to be called the tailor. He's a cutter. So the English, he ends up doing this this divide and conquer strategy between the two. So while Francis is gone, supposed to be finding this tape recorder so that they can play the tape to see what's on the tape, so they can figure out what room that the recording was happening in, they end up, Francis leaves, and the English, he starts talking to Richie, and he starts putting a bug in Richie's ear and making it seem like Francis is the rat, because they're trying to figure out who the rat is. And before he starts manipulating Richie to start thinking that Francis got something to do with it, he flat out just says, like, I'm the rat. Just out of nowhere. And then Richie looking at him like, he listening like, what do you mean you're the rat? And so the tailor starts giving him this like bolt, like feeding him this BS, right? Telling him all this stuff. Because the tailor knows Richie's dad. Because Richie's dad used to come into the shop or whatever. So he's known Richie for a while. This is why Richie and him are having this conversation on some bonding type shit. And he felt comfortable to tell Richie that, like, oh, I'm the rat. So he says it with such conviction and such seriousness, and the scene is so tense. You actually think that he's crazy enough to really tell Richie that he's a rat. You know what I mean? Like, he's because he wants Richie to not believe he is the rat, which makes the viewer believe, like, you probably really is the rat. You know what I'm saying? So there's that mind F, right? So then it keeps just going. The Taylor is slick as fuck. Here's the thing. I made a decision when it came to talk about this movie. I'm not going to give a whole bunch of detail like I would in a typical movie review. And that is because there's so many different twists and turns and stuff in this movie. Like, it's just fun to watch. And I do not want to spoil the fun to watch this versus just spilling the tea on what's going on. So if you have access to Paramount Plus, if you got access to it, watch The Outfit. Watch it. It's 1 hour and 47 minutes. This man, the English, okay, he is not your average Taylor from beginning to end. And the way he's able to put all of this in order, the way he's the puppet master of everything. That's the only main spoiler I'm gonna give you, right? Is that he's the puppet master of it. Because as you watch it and you start to see stuff unfold, you're still going to have the guessing game of which part did he mastermind, or was that organic, or did that organically happen? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. This was a brilliant ass movie. I really liked it and enjoyed it. And the fact that it was on Paramount Plus and not on some like blockbuster type hype, like, I appreciate it, because I think that it would have been good in the movie theaters. I think it probably would have hit a little bit different. I ain't gonna hold you. Because of everything that ends up happening. And if you're wondering about what happened to the tape, let's just say the tape ended up in good hands and it ended up where it needed to be. And at the very end, the final showdown is quite gangster. Okay? So I say this, you got to be careful with people with scissors. You know what I'm saying? Just be mindful of people with scissors, because you just never know. They might be good using them in more ways than one. You know what I'm saying? They just might. Okay, so this the last show. This the last show. It's also on, what is it? What's that show? HBO Max. Oh, shoot. Dang, you autocorrect. Golly. Okay, so Staircase is on HBO Max. It is an HBO Max original. It is a true crime scripted docuseries that tells the story of Michael Peterson and his wife Kathleen, who died at the bottom of the stairs. Okay. The first three episodes is what premiered this week, and there's so much already going on in the first three episodes. It's not slow like a typical documentary. It is fast paced. So if you watch the documentary on Netflix, so if you were to put it in order, I would watch the documentary on Netflix first and then watch the series versus the other way around, because it kind of like sets you up a little bit on what is supposed, what was explained happening. And then you can also compare the players in this situation in real life and how they got people to kind of like actually look like these folks, you know, on screen. So Michael Peterson is indicted and charged with first degree murder of his second wife, who it's to believed on the defense side that she basically just slipped and fell and bumped her head. That I should not have laughed. I'm sorry. It was the way that I said it. She slipped and fell and bumped her head on the wall. And then as she was trying to get up, she slipped again and bumped her head again, which is how they got all the lacerations. Because the biggest question, one of the biggest questions of the case, according to the autopsy in her body, was how does she have all of these lacerations, but yet her skull is not fractured? When typical stair falls, there's a fracture to the skull somewhere, and there's none. There's just lacerations. And apparently, I believe there was like 35 lacerations in total. And there were like deep ones that were like ingrained in her skull. And the Kathleen is played by Toni Collette, who does an amazing job. When you get to the scene where they start to recreate the blood splatter and explain when the defense goes to explain like how she fell down the stairs, and they dramatize it for us in the audience to, you know, like they do the scientific part of it, they do all the jargon and the lingo to explain it, but then like for visual learners, they actually like have Toni Collette reenact it as if it might have happened in real life, you know what I'm saying? And she does it perfectly. Like, she just, the gurgle and the way she slipped and fell, her hand positions, everything, because you know they have to recreate it according to what the actual crime scene photos look like, and her hand positions and everything like that. I don't know, Toni Collette is dope. I wouldn't be surprised if she didn't get like some type of an award or something for this character that she, which is, I don't know, is, well, I don't know. Is it weird to get an award of a person you was that was murdered? Is that weird? I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, but Toni Collette did a great demonstration of that. She acted that out really good. And then her husband, Michael Peterson, is played by Colin Firth. And Colin Firth, mind you, Toni Collette and Colin Firth both have natural accents. Okay. So for Toni Collette, I'm used to hearing her go in and out of her accent. You know what I mean? Because I've seen her in so many movies where she speaks, you know, she speaks an American tongue, right? But Colin, the way he does it and the way not only is he having to play use an American accent, but he has to play and he has to use an American accent from North Carolina. You know what I mean? And the entire actor portrayal, even certain looks that he has on his face, is similar to Michael Peterson in the Staircase Netflix docuseries. It's just, it's creepy. It's beyond creepy in how they were able to really like get these people to look similar. And then they show you like flashbacks to before Kathleen died and everything like that, and what led up to that, and how stressful her job was at, you know, starting to get to her stressful her job was starting to get to be. And we find out through the investigation, because see, here's the other thing that was starting to make Michael Peterson look guilty, similar to Scott Peterson's case somewhat. But with Michael Peterson's case, there's all these different secrets that are starting to come out. So then we learn that he's bisexual, and he claims that his first wife and his second wife knew about his, you know, desires and extracurricular activities, but it didn't like salty the marriage or anything like that. It didn't make it like messed up. Everybody, I guess, knew their position and knew what was going on or whatever. And I don't know, maybe they have boundaries and stuff. None of that has been explained, because nobody knew that he was bisexual. And even when asked about it, like, it was, you know, it was laughable at that point, until when they did, excuse me, the technical forensics, and they went through his computer and they found these, the pictures, the porn pictures on his computer of naked men and stuff like that. And then they broke it to the children. Now the children are split in half. So the biological children, of course, they are rooting for their dad. Like, no, no, no. But then, of course, the stepdaughter and her family, of course, like, they end up with help from the DA, basically convince her that, you know, there was something definitely going on, and that, you know, Michael Peterson is the one that did it. So she is not, like, she, according to the Petersons, like, she can't really be trustworthy at this point or anything like that. So yeah. What else did they end up learning to find out about Michael Peterson? They end up later finding out, because the story aired in, I think it was in France. No, Germany. I think the story aired in Germany, because it was a worldwide, ended up being a worldwide case. So it ended up in Germany, and the sister to his first wife wanted to talk to the, it was either, was it the DA or the defense? It might have been the defense. And the defense attorney, the lead attorney on the case, who had his back 100% and was really just trying to fight for Peterson's freedom and stuff, and trying to get to the truth, because it's easy to say circumstantially, like, he could have done it, but then based on the evidence and stuff like that, it also could be he could not have done it. So there's just reasonable doubt there. So that was basically the plan. And so then when they find out that his second wife died of the, you know, falling down the stairs, but different situation, apparently, quote unquote, allegedly, she had a brain aneurysm and fell down the stairs or something like that. And that's how she died. And she was found by the housekeeper or something, whereas Kathleen was found by her husband. And he said that he was out at the pool. They were outside having a lovely evening, enjoying the night out, with the kids out the house and stuff like that, because they got empty nest syndrome. So they were just enjoying one another. She decided she was going to go upstairs to bed early because she had to be on a conference call, I guess like early in the morning or something. And they had been sipping while they was out or whatever. The kids had left to go to a party or something like that. And he, Michael Peterson, stayed outside by the pool. And according to the autopsy report, she was dead for an hour, you know, I guess before authorities were called. And when he did call, it sound, according to authorities or people who listen to the tape, it sounded like a regular in shock type of call. Like, it wasn't like, you know, planted or nothing like that. And it was fake and phony. And then they did another test run where they actually recreate the sound, like if somebody was crying out for help, and they kept turning up the volume or whatever, and Michael Peterson and his attorney was going decided to go outside by the pool, and they couldn't hear anything. So what they're doing, you know, according to the way it's looking on how a case is done, I guess, I don't know, we would need Dr. Saint Nobody, attorney at law, to really break all of this down, I guess, huh, because I ain't no attorney. But to see how they're through, you know, getting ready to poke holes in the prosecution story, you know, being like, oh, well, why didn't he hear her and stuff like that. Now, on some trail stuff, though, the DA only has circumstantial evidence. They didn't even have a murder weapon. You know what I'm saying? They basically created a murder weapon, because the first autopsy report, the doctor put, that she put bled out. So it was supposed to be Kathleen died of natural causes or whatever from the fall, because there's no murder weapon, her skull ain't bashed, and she's got lacerations, and it could have really just been like a slip and fall, even though it was hella blood, like it was hella blood all over the place. But the way that Toni Collette performed that scene, the way that they medically described it of what could happen, or scientifically, like what could happen, it could have happened that way. Now, on the flip side, of course, the prosecution, they did the same thing, because one of the family members on Kathleen's side, there was a conversation discussed that Kathleen gave people like fire pokers or like fires, fireplace tools or something like that, right? To everybody for Christmas one time. And one of the family members just had this epiphany, and she goes and picks up the poker and she starts beating the pillow with it. And then they're like, it had to have been the poker. And I ain't no detective. I'm not a CSI. I'm not none of that. But I feel like if you had a fire poker and you started to bash somebody's head in, I feel like you might fracture it a little bit. Just a little bit. I don't know. I don't feel like it would be just some deep ass cuts on someone's skull. And it's a poker, so I feel like there would be holes in the body somewhere. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not an expert, but that's what it would appear like to me. But yeah, man, I don't know. So the scientists, the prosecution actually does their own experiment on what they're gonna do, and they demonstrate. They use a whole bunch of dummies. They have the fake blood and the on with the, on you know on the sponge, and the guy is just like bashing the dummy's head in to recreate the blood splatter and all this other kind of stuff. Ends up calling the DA and saying, "Yeah, like we got it," you know. And really, what's funny is all of this is happening because based on in that scene. Between the, I think it was the detective before he took it over to, you know, before he gave the final details of the autopsy to the DA. I think it was the detective was talking to the doctor and she's going over her notes or whatever of the autopsy. And he's like, so there's no cause of death. And she's like, not yet. She bled out. And he's like, basically like rewording it for her. Like, she got bludgeoned to death with a weapon. And it's like, but where's the skull fracture? Like, where is it at? She don't got no defense wounds on her or nothing like that. So I don't know. And it's, I'm just looking forward to see how they're going to finish telling this story. It's no different than how we knew what was going on with the OJ trial and you watched it in real time. And then they decided to do all these drama movies. And even the most latest one that was produced by Ryan Murphy, which is the OJ Simpson trial. A true crime American story or something like that that was on FX. So I guess HBO decided to throw their hat in the ring and do something similar too. So yeah, I don't know, man. If you're interested, check it out. But like I said, go check out the Netflix documentary first and then go watch the one on HBO. But it is my time. I got through it. We had a good time. We had a good conversation and we have plans for future shows. So shout out to Rain, Stereo Legend, EMC, and Scruff, because yes, we're gonna go ahead and make that work. It'll be separate episodes of specific shows, so make sure you are following me. Again, if you are listening to me on other platforms and you have not downloaded the Stereo app, make sure you download the Stereo application on Android or iPhone. Make your profile, decorate your avatar, follow me, Eve Reed, aka Melanin Selection, and yeah, follow me, I'll follow you back, and then you can be joining me and the others in this room as we discuss in real time, live in the paint of what's going on and everything. And you can give your suggestions and your two cents, you know, and predictions of what's going to happen. You know, that's what we do over here. And we love spoilers. Okay. We love spoilers. So if anybody is don't like spoilers, I don't know what to tell you. You might want to swipe or just, you know, hit end already. But I appreciate y'all. This is Binge and Rewind. I do this every Tuesday and Friday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 1 Central, and 2 p.m. on the East Coast. Presented to you by Readality Radio. Follow Binge and Rewind on Anchor and Spotify for new episodes. New episodes will... I'm trying to get better at uploading the new episodes, okay? I'm trying to get better. You know what I'm saying? I get distracted and have squirrel moments. We know this already about me, okay? Yeah, it happens all the time. But I appreciate everybody who came through and everybody's continued support. And, yeah, that's all I got, y'all. I will see y'all next Tuesday. No, I'm sorry. Next Monday. Next Monday is when I will see you because I am not doing Binge Rewind. It's going to be a special episode recorded on Monday. One, I can go longer to do this show because I'm not on a time limit. But then also on Tuesday is my birthday, so I'm going to be doing a birthday show at the same time that I would be doing Binge and Rewind. So yeah, that's why Binge and Rewind is moved to Mondays. I had to remind myself. But yeah, again, reminder, also check out Two Becks, One Mic tonight on Station Head. It's going to be a very special episode. You know, they have guests that join them on the panel. As of now, even more so, and they are booked out into July, I believe, July or August. They are booked out for a special guest every single Friday night, so make sure you tap in. That is with Dr. Saint Nobody, attorney in law, aka Notorious RMG, over there on Station Head, and Bex a Million. So make sure you following them, following us, and you just have a good time, yo.
Get ready for your birthday jingle.
Yes, baby. Shout out to Larati, man. Oh my goodness, that's the Kanga Jangles. I don't care what nobody say. I don't care. And you know what, Larati, I will say this. There's been many people who have tried to do what you do. You know what I'm saying? But when you really think about, just like how they did with Snipe Luciano and people tried to do what he did, and man, you know, can't nobody do it. And even when they try, it fall flat and then they can't keep it up. You know what I'm saying? Which means their heart really ain't in it. That's all I'm saying. Like, make sure y'all, yeah, see, now y'all really got to download the Stereo app now, huh? So y'all can hear what LaRotti finna do. Ah, see, you got to download Stereo. Otherwise, you're going to miss out and you're not going to know what the inside joke is. Ah, see? Told you. All right, y'all. Thank you so much. I appreciate y'all for being here. Thank you, Rain, Stereo Legend, EMC, Trip, Duce, LaRotti, Dr. Bay, Icon. I appreciate y'all being here. Scruff came through. Livewire came through. Thank you. I appreciate it. Am I missing anybody to thank? I want to make sure I ain't missing nobody to thank, because that would just be rude of me. Oh, yeah. Check Yourself came through. Shout out to D. Williams, Short Stroke, and the Catman. They came through, too. That's right. They showed this, so shout out to them for that. They came through earlier in the show in the beginning. So, I'm going to check y'all out later. Have a great weekend. Happy Mother's Day to those who are mothers, whether they on 2 feet or 4 paws. It don't even matter. Happy Mother's Day to you, because you a mama to somebody. Whether they biological, adopted, or you just grew into the family, it don't matter. You still a mama influence. You know what I'm saying? Happy Mother's Day.
You already know that Taurus like, go, baby. Happy birthday in advance. I'm going to be there. I'm going to try to be there. I'm going to try to be around somewhere. You already know. Bulls. Icons.
That part, happy belated birthday, Icon. That's right, Taurus is in the building. You know what they should have did for a guy option for the Taurus crown is to give a hat with a with the Taurus symbol on it. That would have been dope. That would have been dope. Because ain't no man finna walk around with no Taurus crown. You know what I'm saying? I don't think so, you know. Chosen few, chosen few, chosen few. You know what I'm saying? But I think it would have been dope if they would have given like a hat, and we could have kind of like altered, you know, a cute hat would have been great. But but Stereo, we appreciate you choosing the Tauruses first to give us this, because at the end of the day, we was first. So there's that. All right, y'all, I'm getting annoying now at this point. My bad. All right, I'm finna go. Love yourself more today than you did yesterday, even more so tomorrow. If it's not fun or functional, it's not fundamental, and binging and rewinding is what? It's fundamental, especially when you enjoy what you're watching. Have a good one. Be nice to each other and enjoy the weekend. See y'all soon. Bye.